Monday, August 2 it is, 9 days of the games gone. Let's have a look at them. Have we got enough time? I bet you we don't. And who better to look at it with than Ballarat's marathon man, four-time Olympian, former chef de mission of our Commonwealth Games team, Mr. Steve Monteghetti. G'day, Mona.
Brett, great. I came in early. I'm so excited. We are just absolutely having the games of our life. This could actually be the greatest Australian performance in Olympic Games ever. We are just going so well. I'm extremely excited, as you're probably gathering.
You're so excited. You've put your Sydney 2000 tracky top on this morning, looking resplendent, Mona.
I don't get to wear it very often, so I thought this is a chance when the Olympics are on and we are going so well. I'm proud to wear it. Not that I'm not proud to wear it, but you feel we're all very humble. And the number of stories I'm getting about people, random people saying to me, just so good, the Australians, humble, their humility and success has been great, the backstories. I think we're probably doing it pretty tough, with the pandemic, and it's just been so refreshing to have these positive stories and to celebrate. These people have worked hard all their life, and they're just normal people like you and I who have put their mind to a cause and effort and physically spent years preparing, and now we're seeing the reaping the rewards of all that hard work.
Our most successful day of the games ever yesterday, Mona, and of course led by our swimmers. Can you believe what Emma McKeon and Kayleigh McEwen have done? And then you add on Ariane Titmus as well. Just sensational.
Yeah, interesting. Swimming is absolutely nailed at these games, but women most particularly. Our women's team's just absolutely dominated, and Emma McKeon becoming the greatest medal-winning Olympian ever, ahead of Liesl Jones and the legend that is Ian Thorpe. And hasn't his commentary been great as well?
So I'm glad you mentioned that, Mona. Yeah, I don't understand much about swimming. He's really clarified more than ever before, the Thorpedo. He's been terrific.
Yeah, and I think we often see the sort of the world record line, but we don't sort of see the faces of the swimmers a lot in the pool. So he's brought a lot of that, what happens, in the warm-up pool, what's happening in the event, the mindset. So we've seen sort of inside what a swimmer's thinking. So I think that's been really valuable too. But just amazing. And, we're just rolling out performances. Then, that you talk about the greatest day ever and weren't in the sailing. He'd already won. He didn't need to. He just needed to get in the boat and
make sure he said he had the worst sleep of his life on that Friday night, even after he'd won it.
So, right.
Yeah, but bizarre the way the mind reacts, isn't it? Just quickly back to the swimming before we move on.
Yeah.
Did you have a stat, Mona, where Emma McKeon, just by herself, was more successful than, was it the Germans?
I think the German team. I think she's 11th on the medal tally. Not that we look at medal tallies.
Oh, come on. Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Especially when we're knocking off the bombs.
Take a screenshot. I know. 4th on the medal tally behind China, America, and host nation Japan. And host nations always perform really well. But in the actual, it goes on golds in the sort of ranking. But in medal tally, we're equal with Japan, a little bit behind Russia. But we are just absolutely just having the games of our lives. So it's very exciting and, we should just revel in it.
Now, Steve, I want you to be super honest with me. When the International Olympic Committee first said we're going to introduce BMX racing at the Games, what was your initial reaction?
I thought, they're trying to be relevant. I didn't really think it was a lot of history and tradition, so it probably wasn't the chosen sport that I would have been adding to the program.
But have you changed your mind after seeing Logan Martin win that gold?
A little bit, yeah. Just the skills. I think of going down the skate park. I used to take our kids. I'm not great on skateboards or BMX bikes or anything, but our kids, we should take them down there and let them have a go on the skate park. Gee, I think there'll be a lot of kids down at the skate park in the next few years after Logan Martin. What a performance. Logan from Logan. I'm not sure we're allowed to know his surname, but just to give you a bit of insight, I'm not sure I'm allowed to tell you this or not, but the AIS prepared, really supported that BMX freestyle program to the levels that that they actually built the track. Once they knew what the track was going to be like in Japan, in Tokyo, they built a replica in a shed down on the Gold Coast. So that's the sort of backstory you need to know just to get him prepared and the team prepared to be able to pull those performances off. But I'm not sure what he did with that bike up there or how it – was he glued? Was that – there was something. There's some attraction there to get that bike back. They spin, they throw it away, but they end up landing and back on it again. Incredible.
So you mentioned the word relevance, Mona. You didn't think it was quite relevant. You're kind of saying, okay, it's not too bad now. But for the Olympics to remain remain relevant, does there need to be more than swimming and, you know, the marathon, et cetera?
Well, I think, you need to broaden the market and get younger people engaged. And social media, I think if you look at the social media accounts, someone like a Logan Martin or our swimmers, you know, they've got incredible social media reach. So you need to bring that relevance. And, you know, it's not, as I say, like the traditional sports, but you've just got to engage with the broader community, you know, across all cultural divisions. And we just need to embrace that. And as I say, you know, I think it's been a really positive. And they've accepted the pride of being wearing the Australian uniform really well. Owen Wright was really emotional, and the way the surfers have embraced the team and the Olympics. So that the sports, I think, were a bit nervous about it, but they've really taken it on board. And I just sense that this Australian team's got a really good support around each other, and really, you know, performing as a team. Whilst they're all separate and had COVID issues to deal with, I think they've come together as a team really well.
Mona, what does it mean to you to pull on that tracksuit top that you've pulled on today, the green and gold Oz 2000 Sydney?
Oh, it means so much to me, and it's, you know, what I spent my life training for to become an Olympian. And, you know, we saw the stories, and I, you know, I used to look down. It was getting hard in a race. I'd look down at the crest and say, well, you know, I'm doing this for my country. And when it gets hard physically and mentally, that's what you do. And we saw that with Patrick Tiernan in the 10K on Friday night. You know, he ran the race of his life, got dehydrated and collapsed, got up three times. I know Patrick, you know, just a lovely, hard-working guy. And to do that, and he realized, he said, you're wearing an Australian singlet. You get up, you finish, you cross the line.
Gutsy
and that's
stuff.
Just what you do.
Yeah. You excited for Stuart McSwain, who's got Ballarat links? He's coming up tomorrow.
I'm more excited for Peter Bowl at the moment in the 800.
Didn't he go okay last night?
Yeah. He's broken the Australian record and Oceania record in both the heats and the semi. And that final's a bit open. The 800's normally got a Kenyan or an outstanding African, but he's in the mix, so it's very exciting. Then we wait till Stewie starts his program in the 1500 heats tomorrow. And I've got a lot of athletics to come, and mightn't be a lot of medals on the track, but we're performing really well. Matt Denny was fourth, Brandon Stark in the discus, and Brandon Stark fifth in what was one of the probably the greatest Olympic high jump competitions ever. And they ended up sharing the gold medals, a Qatarian and an Italian. And the Italian male wins the 100 metres. They both embrace the emotion of the track last night. If you weren't moved seeing what performances were on the track and at the Olympic Games yesterday, you're not human.
And what about our young sprinter, Mona, Rowan Browning? He's just sort of come out of the blue. Well, he run a 10.01 or something. He is going to be up and about for years to come, isn't he?
He is, and he's a terrific fellow. I spent a bit of time looking after Rowan as the chef at the Comm Games.
Yep.
So, fantastic, 10.01. Who would ever have thought we would, you know, an Australian sprinter would win, male sprinter would win a heat of the Olympic Games 100 metres, just incredible. And then still ran 10.09, didn't make the final, but certainly acquitted himself unbelievably well.
Locally, Mono, we've still got Catherine Mitchell to come in the javelin. This is her third Games tomorrow. Do you rate her as a chance? She only just made the team, didn't she?
Yeah, but in the jav, you know, you just need one big performance, and she was fantastic Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast. We've also got Kelsey Lee Barber, so in that event, so she's the reigning world champion, who hasn't been throwing all that well, but again, you know, it's big. She's a big-time performer, so her and Catherine, certainly great chance in the jav. And pole vault, got a couple in the pole vault. Curtis Marshall qualified in the men's pole vault as well. And across other sports, you know, Kearney Cross in the women are playing in the semi-final, I think 9 o'clock tonight against Sweden. Tough game against Sweden, but the girls have been going well. And
of course, Kyra played 3 years of her juniors in Ballarat as well.
She did, and she's come on as a off the interchange as a substitute a couple of times. And that unbelievable match on Friday night where they got over Great Britain. Sam Kerr just scoring with a few seconds to go, then getting into extra time. And
what a star.
What a star. Yeah. So it's all happening.
Mona, you and I don't do the mullets very well anymore. Once upon a time we might have. But what do you reckon about our golfers led by Warrnambool's Mark Leishman?
Yeah, and Cameron Smith. It's a great look. And Cam, as we're watching. He was a chance. He got to sort of equal third. There's about 20 of them that were equal third. I think they had an eight-player playoff for the bronze medal, which, you know, in golf, you know, probably questionable whether it's sort of its position in the games. But Mark and Cameron did Australia proud as well.
Yeah. And, Mona, just before we let you go today, a bit of basketball also with local links. We got Delhi from Maryborough getting plenty of court time with the Boomers, and former miner Nathan Sobey also there as well. You don't have to look too hard to see some local links at these Olympics.
No, you don't. And, you know, Brian Gorgian, who was our first coach here at the Miners, is doing a terrific job. And the men, the women didn't start well. They did get a win, so they're playing Puerto Rico tonight, I think. But the men are going really well, and just never know. They've always strived to get that medal in our basketball men's team. So hopefully we can get Nathan Sobey and Gorge to get us over the line.
How many Ks did you run last week, Mona?
Ran about 80. I was a bit inspired. I'm a bit sore, to be honest, from it. So I ran a race, club race on Saturday, a long run yesterday. I'm just, I'm a bit, the adrenaline's kicked in. My body's not liking it, but the rest of me is.
Steve Monteghetti, your insights are fascinating. Will we do this one more time?
Next Tuesday, I reckon, Brett, when we'll wrap it up enjoy, revel in it while we've got great sport and great humans representing Australia with such pride. It's fantastic to watch and see.
Four-time Olympian and Ballarat's marathon man, Steve Monteghetti. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Brett.